Welcome to Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, a podcast brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. TIPQC exists to improve health outcomes for mothers and infants in Tennessee through our quality collaborative that will identify opportunities to optimize maternal and infant outcomes across our state and is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. The Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast is designed for medical professionals and for patients and families across the state. We will focus on all aspects of the perinatal period with special attention to reducing our maternal mortality rate. This podcast is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health.
Welcome to the Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee podcast, brought to you by the Tennessee Initiative for Perinatal Quality Care. I am Dr. Cornelia Graves, the TIPQC State Project Leader for the Cardiac Project, as well as the upcoming TIPQC Maternal Medical Director. In today's discussion, we're going to be talking about cardiac disease from another perspective. Often we talk about cardiac disease in terms of how we treat patients, but today we are joined by our patient and her husband to talk about their experience with cardiovascular disease. Please welcome Lariana and Joshua Pryor. And we met serendipitously on, I believe, a Monday evening. In fact, we didn't even meet face to face, but we have known each other since that time, and I've known her story. We're so honored to have you join us today. And really, just I'd love for you to tell us just a little bit about yourselves. And you have such a great and interesting story about how you came to the United States. And so we'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Graves. It's an honor to be here to join you in this beautiful work that you're doing, which I think is so important to all community for pregnant women. In my case, it's my first pregnancy. So I think I'm hoping that this can really contribute to the experience of other women that may face the same circumstances that we faced here. My name is Lauriane. I'm Brazilian and I'm 38 years old. And 5 years ago, I met my husband, now husband, Joshua Pryor. He was a missionary in Brazil and I was a social volunteer in a favela, a community in São Paulo. And we got married in 2022, and I've applied for a visa that was only granted in 2023. I moved to the U.S. really happy and at the same time afraid, because at my age, I heard that it could be hard for me to get pregnant, but God has blessed us. And in November, last November, we got pregnant. And that's pretty much how I got to the country. That's a short Making a long story short, yeah.
So tell me, when you were in Brazil, what type of work did you do, Joshua, regarding mission work, and what types of things did you see?
In Brazil and Sao Paulo, you know, it has a lot. In Sao Paulo specifically, it's a huge city, 24 million people roundabout. You have super really rich people, but then you have super really, really, really poor people. And specifically, we were working in one of the largest favelas. It's called Heliopolis in Sao Paulo. I mean, it's just like shanties. There's some bricks, it's brick housing, but it's shanty. And then there's this one particular part called the City of God. And it was the exact opposite of the City of God. It was a one entrance, one exit, old manufacturing that the drug dealer had set up a town for his wives and for the people. And wasn't any good sewage, you know, running out, so it would rain and it would fill and it would smell, and you have rats and feces, and there was guys at the front with guns, and the crack dealers were there, and you would smile and say hello as you walk by, and you know, they'd be skittish, but kids are kids anywhere. So you're just out there sharing the love of God, sharing the word of God, giving them a hug, just, hey, what's your life like here? And it's just a great wake-up call to get outside of your own culture. In America, we're so individualistic. That community idea is not as strong, maybe a little bit stronger in the South, but not as strong as you see there. So it's just great to really humble yourself and to really learn and to grow amongst other cultures and other peoples and to really just show forth the love. And that's where I met the love of my life. So just played really, really well.
And specifically about the project, in this seat of God, there is a church called Casa de Jesus, and is a Christian church. But besides spiritual support, they also provide social support for those communities. So on a monthly basis, they provide them food, they provide them some health support. We have Christian groups of dentists and doctors that they help to organize and bring all that support to these most vulnerable children. And that's pretty much how we help when we are there, giving lessons. You know, when we have foreigners like Joshua that speaks English, is an opportunity for these children to also expand their understanding of the world and be exposed to other cultures and languages. We had people volunteering to teach them English. So it's kind of a social work that we do that too, trying to help these children to be able to emancipate themselves from that reality as they grow. We have some beautiful fruits, some teenagers now in college, and we're very happy about the work that is done there.
So for you, having put forward all into those children, it was extra special that you were able to get pregnant, I am sure.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about, but then you were in Nashville with the schizophrenic weather. So tell me a little bit about that experience and what happened during that time.
Yeah. Basically, Joshua is really proud of being from Nashville. He was born here. And he would tell me when I was in Brazil, we have four seasons in Nashville. We have actually the four seasons. And you can really contemplate and appreciate all the seasons. And I was looking forward to that because in Brazil, where I am, it's pretty tropical weather. It's always warm, always nice, always green. So when I arrived here in summer, and I was really shocked. I thought that was really, really hot. And the humidity makes it hard to go by. And then I was in love with the autumn. The fall so far has been my favorite season. I didn't have that opportunity in Brazil to appreciate these leaves, yellowish leaves falling from the trees, all the landscapes. So Nashville is a beautiful city. I'm in love with that. And finally, I saw myself facing the winter time. Did not enjoy that much. Not really. But I had the curiosity about the snow. So my husband told me that you don't have that much of a snow in Nashville. So God was so gracious that he said, okay, Laura, since you're there, let me show you some snow. But then this year, 2024, in January, we had 8 days in a row of snow storms. And on the first day, I got very excited. I took pictures, sent to my family and friends in Brazil. Hey, snow. Yay, fun. But then we had the second day, third day, and so on. And I found myself pretty kind of depressed. I didn't want to leave the house. And it was so cold. I would just want to really sit down, lay down all the time, being under my blankets, you know, having hot cocoa and some comforting food. So it wasn't the easiest week for me. And by coincidence, it was exactly the week that I was supposed to have my first consultation with my OBGYN. But the consultation got canceled because of the winter. A little I knew that in this week that I got myself so caught up inside the house and not exercising, not moving much, my consultation was scheduled for the following Monday or Thursday. And when I got to my OBGYN, I was 13 weeks pregnant, and that's my first pregnancy. So, you know, I had all those questions. I was really looking forward to the visit. And by the end of my consultation, I shared that I had a pain in my left calf. It was a different pain that I never experienced. It was a pain in my muscle that I thought was a knot in my muscle. So what my husband did is my mother-in-law gave us an oil to help with massage. And since the winter week, that is no week, I started to receive massage in my calf, left calf, you know, to try to help me with the pain. And I really thought it was a muscle thing. I thought I'm not exercising, I'm out of shape. And I never thought there could be anything bigger than that. Although I should have, because when I came from Brazil, I came being aware of my family history. I had my grandmother and some uncles and aunties and cousins who had faced blood clots issues. So many people in my family has had thrombosis. But I really didn't know what to expect, how it would look like. So on Thursday, when I had that visit and I shared with my doctor, I think that it didn't occur to her too that I would be having some problem with my blood circulation. So she just recommended massage and a warm pad, and I got back home. And on Saturday and Sunday, I started to experience some breathing shortage. Is that how you say it? Yeah. And I started to really feel like I was out of shape, but I didn't think there was a condition. There was something like out of the usual. And on Sunday night, I was leaving church and thanking God because the pain was a lot better. So I thought, well, finally, I overcame this issue with my left calf. But little I knew that on the following day, when I got up, I just felt weird the entire day. I couldn't keep any food, but I was already facing some nausea experience. So I think our challenge was to see to what extent of the nausea that was unusual. And I threw up that day about 11 times. And when it was around 8 p.m., Joshua, in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we finally got to, so we called our OBGYN and we asked her a prescription for nausea because I was vomiting a lot, feeling really sick. And I started taking this medicine. And around 8 p.m., I stood up in my living room. I was sitting in a chair and I was only able to say my husband's name. I said, Joshua. And then I had the seizure. And when I came back, he was already on the phone calling the ambulance, asking for help. And I had a team of firemen coming to our apartment. They were all very friendly. They could tell that I was having really serious difficulties to breathe. And they assumed that probably I had COVID. So they asked my husband, about my condition. He shared that I was pregnant. They asked what hospital. He said what hospital. And they tried to take me to the hospital where I'm going to have my baby. And there are two ERs in this hospital. And because of the suspicions of a COVID, they didn't want me in the maternity ER. So they were able to accept me in the other general ER. And as soon as I arrived, they took an X-ray. And they could identify the blood clots in my lungs. And I feel that I was very blessed to have a really competent team there to support me. And I think that's how you got to know me on that night. We had a cardiologist that reached out to you.
Joshua, did you realize how serious her condition was?
No, no idea. The understanding, first she's been really sick the whole process, she didn't take her medicine. She was trying to get over it. And by willpower, she's a very strong-willed woman sometimes, and she likes to push through. And I think me, kind of the same way, I just try to push through. And so looking back, I never thought, well, it's that bad. It's just like she's dehydrated. That's why she's feeling a little lightheaded. That's why she feels a little sick. This is normal. But when we got there, the nurse was like, yeah, she's got some blood clots. And I was just thinking, maybe a couple little blood clots. My mom thought differently, but I didn't know what to do. So I was just kind of, let me just sit down and be still. And come to find out her lung was, I don't know if you'll have the picture, but it's almost completely filled up with clots. And come to find later that the doctor thought she was probably going to die. So I had no idea. And I think looking back on it is like the measurables, it would be great for the husbands in the future to the dads to have measurables of what this looks like as normal or not normal. And maybe that's hard. But again, I had no idea. And I wish I was more attentive rather than more just, it's okay, babe, you're dehydrated. Of course you feel sick. You're dehydrated. You hadn't drank any water. You've been sick this last week.
Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit of my side. Dr. Davis did call me, and she sent me your heart echo. And I was like, oh my goodness, the right side of her heart doesn't function. And we need to actually go in and probably take these clots out. But it was in the middle of the night, and so we were concerned about, having adequate staff. And so we decided that, a good alternative plan might be to try to cause the blood clots to kind of disintegrate. So Dr. Davis called me again and I said, oh, I know you don't believe this, but I have some slides. So I pulled up the medication that can make the clots disintegrate. And I gave her the dosage and I think she came in and talked to you about it. And then we, you know, our goal was just to try to get you to the morning to where they could come do your procedure. And then I think you did pretty well to early in the morning and then you started having issues again. And so then Dr. Davis and I were nervous again. Tell me a little bit about your thought process when they took you down to take the clots out, when they came to talk to you about that and the procedure you were going to have.
Yeah, I think I experienced fear because this baby was really wanted, really expected. And I was like, as much as Dr. Davis really tried to explain to me how the procedure worked, I think there were stress, there was a language barrier, and I couldn't clearly see what was going to happen. And I was just really praying that God would keep my child. And I understood that through the night, there was not a team that could do the procedure. So I did my best to keep my vitals as adequate as possible. But thankfully for the transparency of the communication that the team had with me, Dr. Davis said, we need to try to get you by 7 a.m. So we have the team here. But if you do start to experience some pain, let us know. We need to do something about it. And then I took 2 shots of morphine. And by sometime around 5 a.m., I couldn't really sleep or rest. And the pain, I started to experience some pain in my chest area again. So I let the nurse know. And that's when Dr. Davis came in and started to get things ready for the room for the procedure to be done. I think she even called the doctors from the team that did the procedure to try to get them in advance to check in the hospital earlier to do the procedure.
When they showed you how much clot they had taken out of your lung at the procedure, what did you think?
I was really surprised. I think on the same day after the procedure, the doctors, there were 2 doctors that helped with the procedure. I forgot the name of the procedure, but they sucked the blood clots out of my lungs. And the doctor responsible had many people watching to teach the procedure, something that the hospital has been doing for the last 2 years. What I think is really like, I'm relieved to think that we had that option of such a non-invasive procedure to deal with that. I spoke to my family in Brazil and they thought that maybe if I was in Brazil, I would not have that option on the table. So I'm glad it happened here in America. And he took this work of putting the blood clots where to be the picture of my lung, my right lung, to show the positions for educational reasons. He wanted to have a picture. And when I saw the picture of my right lungs and how blocked that was, I really could tell that I experienced quite a miracle because to think that my heart had to bomb those blood clots, so they went through my heart to get to the lungs, I was really shocked. My idea of blood clots was such a small thing, just like I thought just small dots that, you know, would be circulating with my blood. I had no idea they could be long and thick substances, really.
So after the procedure, tell us kind of what happened with that. What are you doing right now? I know you're not quite ready for delivery yet. So tell us a little bit about your road that you're going through at this point.
Yes, when I got home, I still had some breathing challenges. So I was exercising my breathing, which in 2 weeks' time got better. I would say I feel like it's 100% back already, thankfully. And my recommendation was for me to walk on a daily basis so it can help my circulation, my blood circulation. And I am under a blood treatment of taking Lovenox, which is a blood thinner, twice a day. So it can prevent my blood from clotting again.
So in this, now, do you know what you're having?
It's a girl. It's a baby girl.
It's a baby girl. And do you have a name for her?
Zoe Marie.
Zoe Marie
Pryor. Yeah.
So now that you've gone through this, what types of things would you like people to know about pregnancy complications and what you should do if you have any concerns?
I think that looking back, I would really be more aware of what's going on with my body and facing something new, something that I don't really know what's going on. I would not hesitate to go to a hospital, to my OBGYN, and share that concern. Even if it's nothing, I would be more in peace if I had done that, because I think it's the right thing to do, than being negligent and not do anything about it and wait to see what happens. I think that posture that I had for 2 weeks, like just thinking, oh, I had this muscle pain, funny, ha, 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 and not doing anything about it, it almost cost my life, the life of my baby. So nowadays, it doesn't matter how small it is, my issue, I call my OBGYN, I let her know, is that normal, is that okay? So I prefer to ask and respond promptly to whatever I experienced that may be different during my pregnancy.
And now, Josh, that you know how serious it was and how touch and go it was there for a while, what you had talked about some of the things that you wish people knew. What else would you have liked to know about pregnancy from a partner standpoint?
From a partner standpoint, you know, just on the front end of it, those early weeks of pregnancy, if there was somehow I could get some information, you know, or we could get her seen a little bit faster than what she was, because also to really be bold, to really have more boldness to say, hey, you know, this is a variable that I'm not used to her seeing. Of course, with pregnancy, they're all new variables. So how do I address those variables? Which variable is serious, or when does it become serious? You know, I remember that Saturday before we went out walking, we're not the most in shape couple, get a little out of breath. If I would have known, hey, that's too much out of breath, I would have been like, hey, something's not right, babe. But I was like, yeah, you just walked up a couple flights of stairs and back down. Of course you're out of breath, you know? I mean, that's just common sense. So I think I would like to see, like, hey, do not be afraid, like the statement, do not be afraid to reach out. Do not be afraid to become a bother, you know? I think a lot of times we see a lot of people become a bother, and we don't want to become a bother sometimes to people. But, you know, it's the life of my wife, and it's the life of my child. And, I mean, that's serious. And I feel like I didn't take it as serious as I most likely needed to. Luckily, I have a big God who takes things a bit more serious than me. But other than that, I think the variables in this, to speak boldness into the man, hey, to say, hey, babe, we need to make a decision. This, something's not right. Like that day, she's like, I don't really feel good. I was like, yeah, just try to drink some water, you know, get some fluids. I'll stop and get some Gatorade. And like, no, don't stop and get some Gatorade. Come take me to the hospital.
And I think I'll just add that now that we have experienced it all, I'm aware that it's important to share with whoever is listening to that I'm a Black woman. And I didn't have that understanding that in this universe of Black woman, there is this high inclination for heart-related, cardiac-related diseases through pregnancy. So I think that my idea, my understanding of what is a cardiac problem was really restricted to the heart. I would never think that something that is happening in my legs would be related to my heart. And I think that now that Josh is also aware of that, he started to research a little bit more to understand a little bit more of the scenario and possibilities. So I think education is empowering. And I think the partners, they should also be a little bit more protagonists. Many times the guys, they think that a woman, when she's pregnant, she will learn it all. She will understand it all about maternity and babies. But I think they can really be accountable, be held accountable for doing some research on their own and trying to better understand, you know, what's happening with their partners too.
I think those are all good points. You know, one of the things we do is we give people warning signs after birth. And of course, the pain in your leg is one of those warning signs for afterbirth. But I do think that often we go into birth without very many warning signs whatsoever. We're like, oh, congratulations, you're pregnant. It's going to be all right. And then, so women often don't, and families often aren't looking for those warning signs, because the message that we have in this country is it's going to be all good. But we know that from your story that sometimes it's not all good. and it can actually be life-threatening. Is there anything else you want people to know on this podcast as we about your experience and the things that you've learned as you've gone through this?
My response is take it more serious. Don't be afraid to take it more serious, especially the color dynamic, she's not necessarily American, but she's Afro-Brazilian. The age dynamic there, the variables there, I think
have a lot of history, to it all.
Yeah, and really make sure the regular OBGYN and your regular doctor will make a move faster, you know, somehow. I think to be a little bit more bold and say, hey, we really need to get this done. I think, and I don't know if, you know, regular doctor's appointments, if somehow a word can get down to them as well from the OBGYN sector about, hey, if you're planning on getting pregnant or you think you might get pregnant, this is what you need to look at, you know, in the future. Maybe in like even my sixth ed class, you know, I remember I took, they went through all these different things, and maybe that would be something to add, you know, in the future. Of course, that would be difficult, but something. Anything else, babe?
No, I would just emphasize what we have already said. Don't take lightly any different symptom. Don't be afraid of showing up in a doctor and asking them to check it. It's not your job to know what's going on, but I think it is your responsibility to take it to the doctor. Don't take it lightly. Anything different, just go to the doctor.
So when are we due? When are we going to have our baby?
Oh, I'm due on August 8th.
Mm-hmm.
But because of it's being considered a high-risk pregnancy, then sometime in July, I think on the week of the 22nd of July.
Yeah, she'll be induced.
Yeah, I'm 24 weeks now.
Mm-hmm. Like, I thought that was a great understanding moving forward about how does this relate to the baby? You know, is it only affecting the mom, or how does it affect the baby? Because, you know, you got two different individuals with two DNAs, you know, in there, and how that process works is an interesting dynamic to learn more about as well. So,
well, I always tell people that babies are very resilient if we take care of mom, and you're a great example of take when we took care of you. Now everything is on the right track. And for someone who now has, you know, understands that cardiovascular risk factors include not just having chest pain, or that chest pain and it's not always a heart attack, but there's so many other things that can happen in pregnancy, and that pregnancy does increase your risk of having a blood clot, whether you have a family history or not. And that's something we want people to take away from this family, from this podcast as well, is to make sure that when you're seeing your provider, that you give them your full family history, but understand pregnancy increases your risk for these types of complications, and report any symptoms to your provider. We want to thank the Briars for joining us today for this podcast. We are just so excited, and we look forward to you coming back and sharing Zoe with us when she is born.
Okay, we'll do thank that. You. We'll make sure that we'll send you the pictures, doctor. Thank you so much for all your care. Your support was very important and crucial in that night. I'm really thankful that you were there to help Dr. Davis to identify the treatment that I was required.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee, presented by TIPQC. TIPQC is funded under a grant contract with the state of Tennessee. Healthy Mom, Healthy Baby Tennessee is brought to you through a cooperative agreement with the Alliance for Innovation on Maternal Health. Do you have ideas for a future guest or topic, or even have a question you would like answered on upcoming episodes? Visit www.tipqc.org, that's TIPQC.org, and click on podcast to submit suggestions and questions to our podcast team. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to know when new episodes are available, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube to stay in the loop with our active projects and other relevant news relating to perinatal health in Tennessee.